it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
Yes, it is. It is us on a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris taking you up until NFL game time this evening. It's the Bears and the Vikings right there, Trevor. So that the it's the
That's
last
correct.
Yes, last game of the first week of the NFL season. Hoping your team did well. Nevertheless, I mean, we are right in the middle of football season. High school, college, a lot of big-time games coming up. And obviously now every week in high school, the magnifying glass will get bigger and bigger and bigger because of the fact that, you know, there's limited games. I mean, we're headed to week four. You know, I mean, you wait an entire 8-9 months for this season, and it just moves along pretty quickly. Last week, a couple of big games. The weather, obviously, dancing around with some of these really good games. We're getting these intrastate games out of the way, and now we're going to get down to work. A couple of big games the next couple of weeks, and we'll kind of keep you abreast of that. And colleges, too, because on Saturday, even though it was Bethune-Cookman in Miami, you still had a lot of the recruits who were on hand, ones that didn't go up to the FSU mauling of some Texas state. And a good game up in Gainesville between USF and University of Florida. And I guess the Bulls are for real under head coach Golish has done a tremendous job. Alex Golish has done an awesome job, and he's going to – I mean, if you're a USF football fan or if you just follow USF or whatever, and you looked at those first three games, you said, oh, okay, you know, this is neat, you know, that they're at least trying to play these teams like Boise State, Florida, and Miami. But – never in anybody's wildest dreams would you figure that coming into Saturday's 4:30 kickoff at Hard Rock Stadium that the USF has a opportunity to run the table with the three games to begin with. Going to be tough. It was tough last week, a couple breaks here and there, but nevertheless, I mean, come on. It's a program that obviously doesn't get the Power Four recruits right now because of the fact that they're not Power Four for some strange reason. I think, and I've said this all along, that from a TV market, from the very fact that you have 50,000 plus students that go to the school in Tampa, and that they're heading in a direction where they're building a stadium over the next 3 years, and they're starting to recruit, and you have a head coach and a coaching staff that gets it, it's a no-brainer. I think by next year or the year after, the latest, they should be in the Big 12 or somewhere. Big 12 would make more sense than the fact that they'd have that natural built-in I-4 rivalry with UCF. But no matter where, they really do need to end up, especially. And you know, I mean, because if you look in the SEC, other than Vanderbilt with Nashville, every other program there is in like in a kind of one horse-ish type of town. Starkville, Gainesville, Athens, Norman, now Austin, Texas. I mean, which is a bigger city, but not a huge city. I mean, you look Columbia, South Carolina, and yeah. So it's, you'd think that these conferences would kind of, you know, relish the fact that you would invite a TV market that I believe Tampa St. Pete is the largest TV market in the state. So why wouldn't you kind of jump on that, just like the Big 12 did with Orlando? I mean, it would make sense. I mean, when you think about it, it would make a lot of sense. But who knows? I mean, I'm not in charge of things like that. But nevertheless, that's what you have. And there are, and you'll see on Saturday, there are a lot of USF grads that live in South Florida. Our own Hollywood, Danny, a USF grad. So he was at the game, the Miami game the other day, watching the USF Florida game in the whatever they got, cafe area. And yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, USF hasn't had, you know, other than when Jim Leavitt got him to number two in the country, which was, you know, kind of not a realistic type of thing. But now, you know, I mean, they're getting national exposure. They were on nationally against Boise State. They got a really good audience against Florida. And this week, you know, I mean, I think that the powers now that both teams are undefeated, it's you know, it's a top 20 matchup, that they're saying, oh boy, maybe we, you know, but you can't switch it now. It's 4:30. It's on CW. I don't know how CW's reach is, but I'm sure they have CW stations around the country, and they'll probably put that on most of the stations, being a 4:30, kind of an odd time for a kickoff. You know, it's not the standard 12 or 3:30 or 7 or 7:30 kickoff, but yeah, it's going to. And then plus, because of the fact that the Dolphins are still on the road, right? Don't they play the first 2 weeks, I believe?
No, they're home for this weekend anyways for the New
England. Oh, they are home. Okay, they play Buffalo home? Is that who it is?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
New England.
Oh, New England. Okay, wow.
Rick May and company.
Yeah. Okay, so they're home. So there's probably a stipulation that they couldn't play a night game before that, you know, that because that would be a kind of a turnaround. You got to patch up that field.
They've done it before anyways. They did it a few times last year anyways. Think about it.
Okay. All right. But, yeah, that's why I thought it was kind of odd for last week for the Orange Bowl Classic to be on a Saturday the way it was. And then on a Sunday, you had Miami and Notre Dame, you know, which was going to be the standalone game. And obviously you want the field. But the grounds crew, you know, they know. I mean, they're getting paid high volumes of money to keep those, you know, patch up that turf real quick. It'll grow overnight type of stuff. And but, yeah. So you have the football world shining down here on South Florida one more week, and then you got Florida coming in, and that's going to be another one, because you know that Florida schedule's stupid. I mean, Miami, LSU, Texas, Texas A&M, and Georgia, and wow. Yeah, so there's no breathers, and especially with Miami now, they don't have any games that are going, you know, like last week where they could pretty much, you know, name the score like they did against Bethune-Cookman. You don't have those games anymore. And USF's obviously going to be a crazy game, and then Florida, and then FSU and Tallahassee, which at the beginning of the year, you probably said, that's, you know, Miami will go in there and blow them away. Not so much now. And then Miami's got to play those, you know, that trap game, which I call on that Friday night against Louisville at home, because you don't get a huge crowd. You got high schools that night, you know, I mean, too. So you don't get a lot of the recruits coming in. So that's kind of one of those games. And then, you know, they still got those road games. And we talked about it last week with, you know, a trip to Dallas and a trip to Virginia Tech, probably going to be on a Saturday night, one of those Enter Sandman crazy games, you know. And then you have Pitt after Thanksgiving, which is never a gimme. And then you got FSU. So all those games that are going to be on the road are not going to be easy. FIU, a little bit of reality check on Saturday. But you know what? That game is only 20-0 in the fourth quarter. And Penn State's the number two team in the country. Willie Simmons is doing a great job. You know, now they'll start getting back to their conference games, and we'll see how things play out. FAU the same way. You know, you got to play those money games, you know, because it helps. You know, I think USF got $500,000 for taking that 2-hour trip up to Gainesville last week and winning. And, you know, and then UCF, after I believe an off week, will play Bill Belichick in North Carolina. We'll come to Orlando, I think. I believe that's what it is, or they go there or something. But, yeah, that's the interesting part of what college football is all about, you know, in this area, especially down here. And then you got your marquee games every week that are going to be, this past week, not so much. I mean, there was a couple of good games that were played. Troy had the lead on Clemson for a minute. Well, for more than a minute, they had them. And Troy's pretty good, you know, for that level type of team. Got to shout out my UNLV Rebels with a big win over UCLA. But other than that, you know, you have some really, really good college matchup. And then on the high school scene, you know, I mean, this week, a couple of really good games unfolding as well in South Florida, Palm Beaches. I got a chance last week to go to West Boca Raton to see them play against Bergen Catholic of New Jersey. Always good to see the out-of-state teams. You know, a lot of those teams can play. You know, I mean, Florida does have an abundance of talent, no doubt. You know, that if everybody consolidated, you know, and you know, you look at some of the inner city teams and you look at a Northwestern Central, Edison Norland, Booker T situation, all separated by, what, 5 miles or so. And they feed off the same talent pool, and they all have to, you know, get the players they can get. And being that school of choice area, and these kids could go to any school that they could get to that has the open desks. So, yeah. And then private schools doing pretty well too. Like I said, we're going to have, I'll tell you who we'll have this evening about 7:35 or so. We'll talk to head coach Gerald Cox from North Miami. The Pioneers are off their 3-0 start. They'll have their showdown in a couple of weeks with Ice Harris and Matter Academy. Roger Harriott and St. Thomas Aquinas putting it all together. After losing by 3 points to the number one team in the country, the defending national champion Matter Day, they've put it into perspective the last 2 weeks in beating Boyd Anderson. And then Christopher Columbus this past week. Coach Harriott will join us about 7:25 or so. Gio Milian, you ever talk to somebody about University of Miami sports football in particular? Gio's an almanac, and we get a chance up in the press box to pick his brain a little bit, and he's going to join us. We'll talk about Miami's start, what to expect over the next couple of weeks, you know, what players have looked good, and there have been quite a few younger guys that have stepped it up. But, you know, that's the thing that we talk about now, that, you know, he's just a freshman. Yeah, you know, in this day and age, a lot of these athletes are ready to go. You know, maybe not at the level Malachi Toney is at 17 years old, but most of these kids coming out of high school, you know, they've played at such a high level that they're ready to go, you know, in some form, some way, make a contribution. And not just at Miami, but basically everywhere in the country, and especially the Florida athletes who, like I said, you know, they'll not only run against each other, but they go against some of the top teams in the country. So we'll talk to Gio about that. Coach Miles Ross is the head coach at Kaiser University. The Seahawks have been in the NAIA National Championship game 3 years in a row. They won it 2 years ago last year, as I said, a runner-up. So Coach Miles Ross will talk to us. They're 1-0. Beat a really good team a couple weeks ago to start the season out. But once they put it in the gear, they're going to have some really good competition, especially around the state of the programs that play in the conference. We'll talk to UCF or about UCF around 6:35 with Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel. Obviously, Jacksonville State and South Carolina State aren't the key games that are going to count, you know, down the road, but that's who they started out with. And now things will start getting a little bit tougher. So we'll talk UCF football with Matt Mershell as well. And kind of see what's going to happen this year in Scott Frost's second go around as head football coach. And just a few minutes, we'll look at Saturday's Miami USF matchup. Joey Knight, who covers the Bulls for the Tampa Bay Times, will join us as well. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we get it cranked up. We'll talk USF Miami with Joey Knight from the Tampa Bay Times.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Larry Bluestein and Trevor Harris as we take you up until 8 o'clock this evening. As I said, great show with you this evening, and certainly we start things off with a program that I don't know. It depends. If you followed them over the last couple of years, it's really no surprise that they're playing this way. They showed you 2 years ago against Alabama that they could play. And I have the honor of getting an opportunity to spend a couple of days over there every summer and seeing what Coach Alex Golish and his staff, and obviously we know his staff extremely well with DeMarcus Van Dyke, and, you know, being a former University of Miami and player and a coach and several others. But what they've done over the last 2 weeks has just been pretty amazing, beating Boise State. Oh, yeah, Ashton Gentry's not there, but still. And that was on national TV. And then last week, University of South Florida took care of business with a huge win in the Swamp over Florida. They will be at Hard Rock Stadium this Saturday for a 4:30 kickoff. Joey Knight covers the team throughout the course of the year and has just been outstanding with his coverage for the Tampa Bay Times. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Joey, thanks so much for taking the time. And I think you and I have talked about this program for a long, long time, and we've talked about what it's going to take to get them over the hump. But certainly what Coach Golish has done over the, you know, in his short tenure with two bowl wins and an opportunity to go 3-0 against some pretty good competition is a whole different level.
Absolutely, and you alluded to it, Larry, in your opening there. You know, this is a team, a defense that gave Alabama all it wanted for three plus quarters last year. It was 14-13 going into the fourth quarter in Tuscaloosa, and then USF kind of let things get away from them. 2 years before that, if you remember, at Raymond James Stadium, Nick Saban was still on the sideline, and I believe it was 3-3 at halftime. And right. Ty Simpson was the quarterback for the Tide that day, and USF defense gave them fits, and the final score was 17-3 Alabama. But this was a unit that knew it could stand toe-to-toe with the big boys. It just couldn't finish, and obviously that was something that Alex Golish really has emphasized ever since. So to go into Gainesville and to finish the way they did, to shut down Florida, holding them to, you know, to 15 points, you know, one touchdown, whatever it was. Even Mac Harris, the veteran linebacker, said that was, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, that was my sweetest moment. We finally proved that we could do it, that we could finish. They had proven it again, you know, against Alabama the previous 2 years, but going and doing it for a full four quarters. Now you've just got a, you've got a defense that's not only has ferocity, Larry, now they have faith as they go to Miami Gardens. They really believe they can do this. I'm not saying cocksure or cocky. They're just very confident that they can stand toe-to-toe with anyone in the country.
Yeah, and why not? Because the first 2 weeks or first two games showed that this team, you know, is a reflection of its coach. And you know as well as I do, ever since Alex Golish arrived in Tampa, his mantra was, you know what, this is not the old South Florida. I mean, we're going to turn this thing around. They have a really good coaching staff. I mean, you know, I talk to, and when I go there for their summer camps and talk to, you know, Kevin Patrick and DVD and, you know, some of their staff, I mean, they're believers. They buy into what's going on. Yeah, they're not recruiting a lot of those Power Four type of kids, but they've got a lot of talent on the team. And then when you strike gold with somebody like a Byron Brown and you get somebody like a Keyshawn Singleton to buy in, and you get guys like Thomas Schrader and Moody Rubin to come in and kind of infuse this program, you know, this is what the portal is about. You know, you're getting kids who started off at Power 4 or 5 type of programs, and now they're working their way back to Tampa and buying into what somebody who has proven that if you buy into what they're doing, I mean, positives will happen. And listen, you know what? 2 wins over, you know, a pretty good Syracuse team 2 years ago in the bowl game, coming back and going to Hawaii last year and beating San Jose State. I mean, Joey, it's got to be, especially for a commuter, and I have air quotes, fan base, this has really been something special for this this school.
And year 3 should be kind of the apex, Larry. Yeah, they've been building toward this. And you and I both know Alex Golish is a workaholic, and he'll be the first to tell you. And his staff is mostly workaholics, and they have just done a beautiful job of blending high school recruiting and development with the portal. They know their limitations. They know their recruiting footprint, and they work it extremely hard. And I'm talking Florida, South Georgia, South Alabama, et cetera. And they've got not only, you know, three quality 3- and 4-star kids, but quality 3- and 4-star kids from elite high school programs who know about winning. And Alex thinks that's really important. And so do I. So, you know, you've got those kids that they've been able to recruit and develop, and he's done an exceptional job of filling his needs by tapping into the portal. And the result, you have a very, very veteran team. And I know most teams these days are veteran because of the portal. But just look at this, Larry. You know, I've got their depth chart in front of me. The likely starting offense for USF on Saturday at Miami, junior, which is Keyshawn Singleton. Then you got graduate.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Graduate, Byron Brown, a senior, a fourth-year player, senior, graduate, senior. So the only underclassman per se is Keyshawn Singleton. We know what he can do, and that's just the offense. The defense is about the same way.
Yeah, no doubt. And you could see – from a recruiting standpoint, especially at the opening game against Boise. They had a lot of recruits. And the one thing, and you know, because you've been around the program from basically its inception, as far as the power, you know, the level of what they played, and all these coaches taking no shots at anybody before. But nobody's embraced the community and the coaches within that structure, you know, up and down the coast, and like he has. And he's a genuine fact. You see, he's not putting on any, you know, and I've watched him, you know, during the summer camps or during 7-on-7. He genuinely reaches out to people. He doesn't do it just to pose for photos. You could see he'll be in the background with a coach from Dunedin or you know, a coach from Ocala. And certainly – making them feel wanted and appreciated that they came and attended an event. And you know as well as I do, especially this past summer, it was kind of a chore because of the fact that they couldn't use the fields adjacent to where they usually do, because obviously everything's under construction over there. So they right. used the brand new fields all the way across campus on the you know, in the intramural fields, almost all the way, almost near Brusby Downs, all the way that far out, and they used the indoor, and everybody embraced it. And they liked it, and they felt comfortable, and he made sure that he was, you know, making time for everybody. You don't see that anymore. And I, you know what, and I could tell you firsthand, because I go to every college, and I see how, you know, colleges are. He and Coach Norvell of FSU are kind of different. You know, in that yeah. fact, because of the fact that they embrace, they make you feel welcome. You know, it's sort of like when you invite somebody over for dinner. When they arrive, the table's set, you can smell the food. That's what they're all about.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, Larry, has to go back to Alex's humble beginnings. He's yeah. a genuine article, because he doesn't forget where he came from. And he came from Russia. His family immigrated yeah. from Russia. You know, and yeah. he was raised in, you know, small town Ohio, and, you know, was just an average high school football player, and just had to, you know, he didn't have, you know, a bucket to you know what in. You know, he worked yeah. his way up, graduate assistant, you know, and just he beat the bushes and, you know, paid his dues and, you know, came up the hard way through the coaching ranks. You know, I think it just goes back to his humble background. He doesn't forget where he came from and where he was at one point in his career. And, you know, that's why I think he's a genuine article. I'm right on the same page with you. There's no, you know, there's no pretension in Alex Golish. He is who he is. Yeah. You know, he said that many times. I can't be something who I'm not. I'm not going to be a fraud to these guys. I'd be deceiving myself. He is who he is. He is an immigrant kid from Russia who played high school football and worked his butt off all up through the ranks to be where he is now.
No doubt. And a lot of people respect what he's done. And certainly this Saturday, I know Miami's got the utmost respect. And he was so careful. I'm telling you, last week in his post-game press conference talking about Miami, and the one thing that he said, you see this team out here in Gainesville today? Next week, we got a team that's five times as good. And that's the one thing what you got to do. And he certainly is not giving Miami any bulletin board. And you know that after the last year's game that Mario Cristobal respects him and this program extremely well. 4:30 kickoff Saturday. I think that the ticket prices have jumped. And thank goodness. And I, you know, after last week's Bethune-Cookman game, I think that we'll be back to, I hope, 55,000 or 60,000, because there's a lot of USF graduates that live in South Florida. So a lot of them that are going to make their way down. It's you know, it's a happening. You're not going to find two programs like this clashing with so much at stake, especially with USF. Joey, I can't thank you enough. As always, you know, you're a trooper. You're one of the great guys in the industry. And certainly, you know, in our times that we've interacted, you've been nothing but professional, and I'm looking forward to seeing you and then listening to your questions in the post-game press conference.
Always a pleasure, Larry. Thank you so much, my friend.
Good seeing you. We'll see you on Saturday. Thanks so much, Joe.
Take care.
Good stuff. Joey Knight, Tampa Bay Times, class act all the way, knows his stuff. And he's endured. He's been with this program for a long time covering it, you know, and writing positive stories when it wasn't easy to write positive stories. But now it isn't. And certainly I think that the fans going out to the game this week, and we'll have all the action for you, you know, beginning at, I believe, 12:30. Right here on 104.3 FM. I guess Trevor Harris will be probably in the catbird seat, as he always is for those games. And, yeah, we're excited about that. Another program that has gotten off to a good start. Yeah, okay, so they've not played the schedule that a couple of the other programs have, but they will. They got a week off this week, and then I believe they got Bill Belichick in North Carolina, and then they get into it, you know, in a grand way in the Big 12. And we already saw what the Big 12 has to offer with Baylor coming up, big win over SMU. And, you know, certainly Texas Tech looks like a beast, and some of the other programs with Arizona State and such. But UCF, in the second regime of Coach Scott Frost, is hitting the ground running a little bit. They'll find out where they are over the next month or so, but certainly getting off to a 2-0 start at home. Matt Michelle covers this team year-round for the Orlando Sentinel. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Matt, thanks so much for taking the time. And I think you'll agree the first two games really weren't the test, but over the next month or so, they'll find out exactly where they're at.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, the first two games were just kind of warm-ups and appetizers, so to speak. And I think once they get past this bye week and they face North Carolina, you know, in 2 weeks, I think that's where things start to get a little bit, you know, get a real true test of what UCF could possibly be, you know. Then they get on the road for start Big 12 play at Kansas State, and you know, then it kind of goes from there. I think it's going to be a challenging schedule for them, and it'll be an opportunity to see how far this team can kind of grow in year one and the return of Scott Frost.
Yeah, and when you have lesser opponents, you get an opportunity to get some of the feet wet. You know, remember on offense, they only have like three or four guys that are returning, and or five or six, and they're too deep. But they've got a lot of new faces, obviously, with Cam Fancher at quarterback, and, you know, a lot of linemen that are kind of new with each other. How's that worked out over the first couple of weeks? Did they find a little bit out about some of these younger guys or some of these transfers where they're kind of getting that chemistry together a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it has. You know, I mean, Cam, obviously, he started the game, the season opener against Jacksonville State, but got hurt, you know, in the second quarter and was out.
Right.
That brought in another transfer in Taven Jackson, who came in, and he was able to lead them to the opening win against, against the Gamecocks. You know, it was a closer game, I think, than most people thought it would be. But when you've got a 2-hour weather delay going on and things like that, I think it was the perfect way to start for Frost, in the sense of, you know, he wanted to see how this team would respond to being challenged. And that was a good way to kind of start things off with a little bit of a challenge. And then, you know, this past Saturday, you know, Jackson got his first start. He was able to compete. And, you know, you got an opportunity to really kind of see the potential of this offense. You know, Jaden Nixon comes as the transfer. He was able to start things off with a 96-yard kickoff return. You know, then he had two big runs, finished with about 252 yards of all-purpose yards in the game. You got to see some other guys step up and make some plays. You know, Wayden Charles coming in from the receiver spot. Dwayne Thomas Jr., another transfer, coming in the receiver spot. The offensive line has played really well at times for them. The defense, really, to me, has been the key catalyst for the first two games. I thought the defense has played really well. They were able to make some big plays, especially this past weekend. Interception, a couple sacks, a fumble recovery for a touchdown. This group has played really well. They're a group that's kind of got some returners mixed in with some transfers. So a lot of players have been able to get an opportunity to kind of start to showcase themselves. And we're starting to kind of see that, you know, blueprint of what Scott Frost had in mind when it came to building this roster and what he kind of feels like is going to move forward with them and help them have some success.
Yeah, and you make a great point, especially up front on the defense, you know, especially with Malachi Lawrence and John Walker from Osceola and Nigel Lee Kelly, who started his career down here with Miami, and Antoine Jackson. You have guys on the defense, Braden Marshall as well, that have had experience. And certainly if you have something special up front, especially your front seven, I know that a lot of the linebackers are new, but the linebackers are talented, like Lewis Carter. Obviously, you know, he's one of those guys that comes in with a lot of experience. And, you know, same thing, you know, with Kelly Lawson as well. But when you take them and then you look at Antoine Jackson, who's another big-time kid, and then, you know, the Henderson brothers, people who've been there for a few years, because you got to remember, it's a different regime now. I mean, it's not easy when you switch over. I mean, it's been a while since Scott Frost has been here. Obviously, a lot of the people like yourself remember when he was here before and know his philosophies, but the talent level is not anywhere near where he wants it, especially when he heads in the Big 12 play. And as I illustrated before, you know, you take a look, Matt, at their schedule. It's just crazy because of the fact that the Big 12 has become a conference. And you mentioned Kansas State, Kansas. They know Cincinnati as well as anybody because they've been with them for a while. But you have Baylor, and you saw Baylor beat SMU over the weekend. And Texas Tech, who might be one of the best offenses in the country. And then BYU, who plays competitive. And then you have Houston, who you know, there's a schedule. I mean, this is the type of schedule that's going to kind of test this program, see where they are after year one. And as you mentioned, North Carolina, probably not the strongest team, but you know what? That's a great test for this program as well.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, again, if they could find a way to defeat North Carolina, you know, 2 weeks, they start off 3-0. I think that's a good way to start out going into the Big 12 schedule, the conference schedule. Listen, Kansas State's just coming off a weird loss to Army. They didn't look good so far to start out. So there's an opportunity possibly there on the road to get a win. Kansas, you know, struggled a little bit, lost to Missouri this weekend. Maybe there's a chance for you to get a win there as well. They come back to Orlando. You got Cincinnati, as you mentioned. West Virginia's a little bit banged up, and they've got a bunch of newcomers. I think the first part of the schedule kind of really works for UCF. I think it gives them an opportunity maybe to try to sneak in and get a couple wins maybe that people were wondering if they were going to be able to do. And then, as you mentioned, you get in the back end of the schedule. The game at Baylor is going to be a tough one for sure. The game at Texas Tech is going to be a challenge. And then the season on the road at BYU, I mean – those are all going to be challenging games, but if you can kind of survive the first half of this conference schedule and even have some success in it, I think it just bodes well for UCF. It bodes well for Scott Frost because that gives you an opportunity to say, listen, you know, people didn't expect this team to do anything. I mean, they were picked to finish last in the Big 12 by the media. You know, a lot of people just looked at this program and thought, okay, well, you know, you brought in a retread, you know, and Frost again to try to revive this program. What's he going to be able to do? And if he can have success, I think it'll go a long way, especially with this schedule, to find a way to have some success and to build on to next year. Because I think everything about this year is all about building on to the future and building on to next year. And I think you could do a lot to really help that situation by having some success this year, especially if they can qualify for a bowl game.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with you. Matt, let everybody know how they can follow you. Obviously, your website with the newspaper and also your social media accounts.
Yeah, you can go to OrlandoSentinel.com to check out the latest, or you can follow me on social media at OS Matt Michelle.
Good stuff. We'll have you back on when Big 12 play starts, and we'll take a look at the progress and see what's going on in Orlando. I can't thank you enough, Matt. We'll talk soon.
All right, talk soon. Take care.
Good stuff. Matt Michelle from the Orlando Sentinel. UCF football. We'll check in on the Knights periodically. I know there's a lot of interest in our listening audience for that program. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, you know, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we wrap up hour number one. Head coach Miles Russ from Kaiser University is next.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Dean, Trevor Harris, taking you up until 8 o'clock this evening. Glad you could be with us on a Monday, big Monday for football of all types. We talked about high school a little bit, dipped into USF and Miami, but one other school that we need to talk about, and that's been the most successful program over the last 3 years, at least in the state of Florida. That is Kaiser University. Head coach Miles Russ is kind enough to join us. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time and starting things off 1-0 with a the home opener coming up this week against Bethel. You guys gotta feel a little bit good coming into this home opener after a big win against Indiana Wesleyan.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely was a blessing to be able to go up to Indiana, get a big top 10 win for our first game. And that's something that we always have done when we started the program. We wanted to really see what we have early on. I was able to, you know, compete with a really good team, was able to battle through some adversity, being away from home, and that makes it even better. So, you know, it really kind of makes you kind of understand what kind of team you're going to have and how we can move forward and be ready to go for our home opener this Saturday at 3 against Bethel.
Yeah, and not only that, you have an opportunity. I mean, you're the number 2 ranked team in the country, which is fine. I mean, the target's still on you, whether you're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so it doesn't really matter. But the kids are used to that. I mean, you guys have been in a position, especially being in the, you know, in the NAIA championship game the last 3 years. What about this team? I mean, because I know that, you know, I saw you a bunch during the summer. We talked a little bit about the program and some of the kids that you have. You returned quite a few kids, but you know as well as I do, it's just this day and age of football, you never really know what you got coming back because these kids could all of a sudden get an offer from, you know, FAU or one of these programs, and obviously you can't blame them. Obviously, it's a step up in their career, but talk about what you guys got this year, because I think you have some veterans, but you also have some young kids that are going to step in.
No, I think that's what it's about. College football is so different now. You're going to have a brand new team every year. It is what it is. You know, we've been blessed to have recruit some really good players, been able to develop them and make the best out of what they can do for us. And they have gone on and doing some great things out there. You know, we have so many guys at the FBS level, FCS level, that helped build the foundation, and it was part of those 3 consecutive national championship appearances. So now, you know, getting these new guys and teaching them our culture, teaching them the standard that we have, teaching them just how to be consistent and how everything rolls together in terms of the discipline, how the locker room looks, how to go to class, how to, you know, talk to teachers, talk to people, just the whole deal. That's part of who we are as a program. And and then also really pushing it on the, you know, the few guys that we do have coming back, to make sure that they continue to uphold the standard that we have worked hard to build. So I'm really excited for the team. You know, I think, you know, that first game kind of allowed me to really kind of see what we might have. But as you can ask all our players, I'm one of those, you know, how can we get better? You know, what are we going to do differently to get ourselves back to that national championship game and hopefully get over that hump and all the things that lead up to it. So we preach our process is greater than results. So really focusing on the process of what we can do to put ourselves in position to win games and find those different ways to do so and really be consistent within each week.
Yeah, and not only that, you got a chance to see, you know, a kid like Jaden Miller scored 4 times in the first game, a kid that's really a big-time kid. I've had an opportunity to watch him since the 9th grade, here in South Florida when he was out South Dade. A guy that kind of clinched it for you with a long run, in the 4th quarter, 70 yards or so to win the game. But you find out that you have players like that. You also, find out that you have some – you know, like the Shea Spencers, who comes back with a lot of experience at quarterback. What about the defense? I mean, because obviously we know that your first opponent was one of the top scoring teams in the country last year. So you knew you were going to be in for a fight, you know, no matter, you know, which way you looked at it. But talk about this defense and, you know, what you expect out of the defense, especially, you know, coming up this week.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it starts with the guys up front. One of our top guys that we were able to bring back is Tyler Logo. He was one of the top NAIA players defensively in the country last year. Did a great job for us, and him coming back really solidifies us up front. We want to run the football. We want to stop the run, and it starts with the guys up front. And then just like we talk about with Jaden Miller, we have a lot of guys on defense that have been part of the program, but now is their time to take that next step. You know, they've been on special teams. They were in a rotation to being the, you know, the second string guys last year, but now they're the guy. And I think that's what it's about, you know, and I'm so proud of our program of how we're able to develop guys, and especially the guys that believe within the process and the standard that we have, understanding, hey, you know, I might have a guy in front of me, but I'm going to continue to get better, learn from what he's doing, and then when my time comes, I'm going to make the best out of it. And I think that says a lot about our defense, because that's a lot of what our defense is about. Obviously, we brought in some new guys as well, but if you look at our DB room, you know, that's full of guys that, you know, don't have that much experience, definitely not starting anyway. And then down to our linebackers as well, Eli Bertrand, that has 17 tackles and was a player of the week in the conference and different things like that. That was his first time starting. That's what it's about, of really those guys taking advantage of the opportunity and just showing even the young guys just to stand with it, you know, being a part of the process, staying with it, continuing to get better, and then we have the opportunity to make the best out of it. So I'm really excited about the entire team, but we have a lot of those examples on defense.
Yeah, no doubt. Bethel University out of Tennessee, that's coming up on Saturday. 3:00 kickoff on campus at Kaiser University. Coach, I can't thank you enough for stopping by. We'll talk to you plenty during the year. Best of luck. Try to get to one of the games like last year to check you guys out. Again, you're doing a great job, and I love coming up during the summer. You know, you saw me a bunch during the summer. I love coming up there, and it's a lot of fun. And again, best of luck this week. Hope you have a great crowd and bring home that W.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Good stuff. Coach Miles Russ, head coach at Kaiser. We'll end hour number one. Don't go away. We have some really good guests coming your way right after this.
Time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
Back with you in hour number two, Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, taking you right up to NFL football, Bears and the Vikings this evening from Soldier Field. Get to see some more football. Saw a lot of it this weekend. If you miss any of the interviews this evening, just go to WQAM.com. Go to the top of the page where it says podcast. You'll get an opportunity to hear everything. And then tomorrow we will have our rewind where we'll put out on our social media all the interviews that we had this evening, certainly in the first hour, talking a little bit of USF football with Joey Knight from Tampa Bay Times and Matt Mershell talking UCF football from the Orlando Sentinel. And then Coach Miles Russ, the head coach at Kaiser University, program that has had plenty of national championship caliber success. They'll be have a home game this Saturday. First of the year. And now we start off hour number two with the University of Miami program that obviously number 5 in the country and coming off a win over Bethune-Cookman. You know, one of those go through the motions type of the game, but certainly an opportunity to see some of the younger players as well as kind of tune up for this week. Somebody who sits right by me in the press box, and obviously does a lot more than that throughout the course of the year, Gio Milian, and he is kind enough to join us this evening. Gio, thanks so much for taking the time. Kind of like a little bit of go through the motions last week, getting ready for a program this week that everybody's taking serious in USF.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for always having me on, Larry. I appreciate it very much. It's turned into a big week for the University of Miami. You know, I think most people thought maybe UF would have handled USF last weekend. That wasn't the case. 18 to 16, that final score. You also had Spitgate at the end of that game as well, just quite controversial itself. But Miami's looking good so far through their first two games. You know, impressive win against Notre Dame, and I think most of the takeaway from there is how they looked up front. The offensive line, defensive line looked great. Last week was a nice tune-up for them with Bethune-Cookman. Got some young players in. Malachi Toney continues to impress, leads the team in a ton of categories. So it's a nice hot start to the season, and they get yet another ranked matchup coming into this weekend. USF coming in the AP polls at 18.
Not bad at all, and then it gives Miami an opportunity, you know, in a home game to continue to show off some of the talent that they have. Carson Beck over the first two games, you can't say enough but positives about him. Notre Dame, cool, calm, collected, did what he needed to do to win the game last week. You know, kind of a tune-up, what he complete fifth for his first 15 passes, which is a Miami record, breaking Vinny Testaverde's mark. But certainly you got to be impressed over the first two games with Carson Beck. Obviously, his maturity, his approach to the game, the way he kind of runs that offense. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think he reads the field very quickly, gets through his progressions fast. Not afraid of taking the check down. I know some fans may not like that. They'll say, oh, you know, he's being checked down, Charlie. No. He's willing to take the deep shots down the field. Actually, all four of his touchdowns through the first two games are beyond 20 yards, so I think that really sticks out in that aspect. 22 for 24 against Bethune-Cookman. Had a great performance against Notre Dame as well. No turnovers. Everyone talked about his turnovers last year with Georgia, but some of that was fault with the receivers dropping the most passes in the country of any Power 4 team. So you imagine that. He comes to the University of Miami, and he gets guys like C.J. Daniels, who's snagging passes out of the air with one hand, and Malachi Toney, who plays like a fifth-year veteran at 17 years old. So I think he's got a great cast around him. JoJo Traders going to be coming off the men now, too. That's another weapon for them in the offense, and they haven't even got the tight ends going yet. So I think there's much more that we could see from Beck with this offense.
Is there a concern about not getting more of the tight ends involved? Because you do have some really good ones. I mean, you have Elijah Lofton, who's obviously a guy that we know about, as versatile as you get. But we also had an opportunity to see the way that Alex Bauman gets upfield. And we looked at Luke Gilbert and Brock Schott and even, you know, guys like that. And even we had a chance to see good old Owen Ruskovich the other day as well. They have a lot of really good tight ends. Do you think maybe they're just easing them into this rotation, trying to get every other part of the offense intact, because their running game is extremely deep? What we saw, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 running backs last week with Gerard Pringle being a true freshman and getting an opportunity to score. You think that's what it is with the tight ends? Because you understand they have a great tight end room right now.
Oh, yeah. They have a ton of different body types in that room. I actually had a conversation with their tight end coach about a year ago, Coach Woodio, about the type of guys he tries to go after, whether it's the portal or the high school ranks. And he mentioned it. He's like, you try to look for these freak athletes that are anywhere between 6'2 to 6'5 that can run like a deer and also are agile enough in the open field. So you got great different skill sets in the room between Lofton, Bauman, Gilbert, Schott, and Ruskovich that you mentioned. It's all different heights and sizes, different skill sets. I think some of it was by design with Notre Dame. Notre Dame was clogging up a lot of the middle of the field in game one. Game two, I think there was some more opportunities there for them, and they cashed in on some of those, but I think they'll get going soon. I do think they'll get going soon. I was impressed with Brock Schott, though. I think he's a great vertical threat. I'd like to see him play a little more this season.
Yeah, well, I understand. I like to see Elijah Lofton do, because I think Elijah Lofton's he's a Maserati. You don't want to be parking him the garage, because the kid could do so many things. Talk about the defense. What you like? What you think needs some work?
I think the biggest standout with the defense, just one guy in particular that's really, I don't want to say caught me by surprise, because he was an all-SEC guy at the nickel position at Auburn. His position coach leaves for Houston, and then he's here at Miami this year in Zach Etheridge. But Keontae Scott, he moved outside last year with the Tigers in the SEC. Didn't go so great for him. He's back in the nickel here at Miami. He's had a really hot start to the season. He had 3 tackles for loss last week. Had the lowest passer rating allowed of any defensive backs in the Miami-Notre Dame game. He's looked great early on. Defensive line-wise, Miami's got a great group with their top 3 guys in the interior. David Blay in particular, that nose tackle type that I think – Miami's been missing for some time. Maybe the last time they had a guy that could impact in that way as a nose tackle, being able to take on multiple blockers, I'd say Daryl Jackson, who's now at Florida State. So nice to have a guy there. Justin Scott flashed a bit. Ahmad Moten really coming to his own. And on the edges, Reuben Bain, total nightmare for any offense in the country. Even Heisman talks early on. So, you know, maybe he might see a Benarik Award end up at Miami again, and Akeem Mentor finally healthy. They got a great rotation there. Armando Blunt is expected to be back this weekend too, so that'll be great for them. He was pretty impressive against Notre Dame. And the secondary, just overall, night and day from last year. I know it's only 2 games in, but I think it's very evident the improvements that have been made there.
Yeah, they'll be tested this week with a running quarterback. Obviously, last year, running quarterbacks kind of gave him fits. I think this year with the front 7, a lot more athletic, a lot more experience. I agree with you. So this should be a good matchup. 4:30 kickoff on Saturday. I know you'll be front and center. And certainly we appreciate everything that you do, Gio. And we'll be having you a lot during the season. Long way to go. A lot of football to be played. Game 3 coming up this week against USF in a much anticipated battle, but you like to have those games. You like to have a game that's going to draw 55, 60,000. You know, a lot of USF graduates that live down here, just give them an opportunity, come see, and Miami certainly will get tested once again before they hit Florida and Florida State and then the meat of their schedule, which you know as well as I do, that ACC is the only thing that counts, because that's the only thing that's going to get you into the playoffs. Let everybody know how they can follow you. I know you do great podcasts. You and Amon Richard do a great podcast. You also have a lot of things going. Let everybody know how they can follow you.
Yes, everyone can follow me on X at Gio Million. You can also find me on YouTube. I do a weekly show with Amon Richards, Miami Hurricanes football alumni, freshman All-American who broke Michael Irvin's freshman receiving yards record. Actually, that record may be in jeopardy this year.
No doubt.
You can also find me on the Caneswear podcast. People can shop at Caneswear in Davie. There's a ton of Miami Hurricanes gear out there, and plenty of other shows as well. I make appearances on Locked On Canes with Alex Dono. I'm sure everyone knows Dono. So I try to spread myself around.
Well, we're glad you do, man. You have a lot of good knowledge, a lot of great insight. Can't wait to see you again on Saturday.
Thank you, Larry. Anytime.
Good stuff. Gio Million, who brings it strong. He's at everything. He knows a lot about football, and that's a good thing. Great insight. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts in how they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we talk St. Thomas Aquinas football. Head coach Roger Harriott is on deck.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Larry Gluestein, Trevor Harris, we take you up until 8 o'clock or just short of 8 o'clock. We have NFL football this evening. The Bears and the Vikings, please stay around and listen to that game, or, you know, listen and watch or whatever you like to do. High school football in full swing. A couple of these teams are really doing well. One of them, North Miami. How about the Pioneers? 3-0 after the first three games of the season. Certainly a program that has an opportunity to do some positive things, make the playoffs once again this year with Pines Charter and Calvary Christian coming up over the next 2 weeks before the big showdown with Mater Academy. That's not until the end of the month. So had an opportunity to watch them against North Miami Beach. It's a good team. This is a program that is doing extremely well. And Coach Gerald Cox has done an excellent job with the Pioneers. He is kind enough to join us this evening, Coach. Thanks so much for taking the time, and congratulations on another great start.
Man, I appreciate it. I appreciate you for having me on. And hey, we just going to keep working. We're just working. That's all it is, just working.
Well, you not only do that, but you guys take these kids during the offseason, and that's the key. You know that as well as I do. They stay together. They go to a lot of camps. They go to a lot of combines and play together on 7-on-7s. And I know that you learned that from over the years, that if you keep these kids together, now with the linemen getting an opportunity to go with you, this gives them an opportunity to get the whole team going. Talk about the importance of the offseason, especially for your program.
It's always important. You know, it's been important for me, you know, for years as a head coach, you know. So but it's allowed us this year, though, because we were young going into it. It allowed us to really take our young guys on the road, put them in some environments just to see how they were going to act. And it's kind of paying off for us right now. They got some good experience throughout the summer. So it's just beneficial, man, to any kid that can. But I've always took my linemen, so I've been doing that for years. You know, taking them on the road too. So it's just beneficial, man. And we're seeing a little bit of those benefits now by them having that opportunity.
Yeah, and I mean, you have kids every year. Obviously, you're going to have a young team. You're going to have some guys that are, you know, coming up from JV or guys who are ninth grade, because you know as well as I do, especially in South Florida, you could get ninth graders who can come in and help you. I mean, because they've played at that level as far as youth football for a number of years, and they're ready for the challenge, you know, to play varsity football. I mean, you look at guys, you know, here's Malachi Toney, who's a perfect example of somebody who's excelled at the youth football league level. He came in as a freshman, played at Heritage, and, you know, look at where he is now. But you have a bunch of seniors on this team, guys who have been with you for the last 4 years, guys who have, you know, had a lot of blood, sweat, and tears on that field and worked really hard to put them in a position. Talk about the value of having a couple of seniors who could be that extension of what you guys are as coaches.
You know, that's important, especially in this day and age. That's important as far as the culture and understanding, you know, what we expect. Those guys got a chance to see that when we first came in the door. So this is going on our fourth year at the school. So that they've grown with us. You know, I sit back in awe now because as they talk to the team, when, you know, I have seniors that address the team, they sound like how we sound as coaches. So it was like, man, it was an eye-opening experience for me to sit there. I was like, boy, I say those things. You know, so to see that, to see their growth, their maturity, that's been awesome to see, man. And that's kind of what, you know, every program that I've been at, it's been about, you know, growing those kids through the ranks, the loyalty aspect, which, you know, quite frankly, I'm an old school, although I'm young, I'm an old school guy. I learned from the Walt Frazier's, the Telly Lockers, the Roland Smiths, man. So and Art Witters up north, I still coach like that. So the loyalty aspect still is an important piece to us. And we're reaping those benefits because they know what we expect. You know, we don't have to say much as coaches now because we got players that can actually lead the team the way we need them to.
Yeah, no doubt. Gerald Cox joins us. He's a head coach at North Miami. You know, you take a look at the game that I was at North Miami Beach, a longtime rivalry, a game that, listen, I mean, you got to admit, I mean, that was exciting because not only the fact that North Miami won, but the very fact that the crowd was in it a Saturday night, you know, a kind of a standalone game that evening. Talk about a game like that, because here you have not only an opportunity to play a rival, but in front of a lot of people, people that hopefully will come back after they watched a game like that and see how exciting this program is. Talk about what a rivalry game like that does for both schools.
Well, you know, I mean, let's start off by it was the biggest turnout we've had in that game in the last probably 10 years as far as the numbers was concerned. So that right there in itself helps out both schools, you know, with revenue and all that stuff. So that was a big plus. But just to see where we're trying to take the community, you know, everything I've always said, man, I'm on board with everything North Miami, from the park system to the high school level. So, you know, to see all those, you know, all that come to life, to have our little league teams on the sidelines there in the stands, to have all our fans up there, to actually see, you know, what we're doing. And then again, you're playing against a highly respected coach, and Coach Bertani, man, who I got the utmost respect for what he's done in Dade County with that program. You know, so to have that atmosphere, man, I told my wife, I was sitting there, I caught myself for a second because I started getting flashbacks of where I was at some other places. I was like, oh, man, we done made it. We done made it to that stage, you know, where we at with the crowd and everything, man. It's not quite those numbers yet, but it reminded me of that, man. And I'm looking forward to that thing keep going. We got homecoming game coming up in 2 weeks. I hope we get that same kind of turnout, you know, and just keep it going, man, because the kids need it, the community need it, and you know, I'm all for that.
Yeah. District opens this week against Pines Charter, a game, obviously, that I know you guys are taking these things one game at a time, and that's the only way you can do it. I mean, you know, obviously, it would be easy for you to look ahead, you know, to the end of the month against a team like Mattar Academy, who's obviously Coach Ice Harris has done a tremendous job. But you got two games before that. You got the Pine Charter game, which is the opening of the district this week, and then a Calvary Christian team that has had your number the last couple of years, and I'm sure that you'd like to, on homecoming, kind of pay that thing back a little bit.
Yeah, you know, you're right. But like you say, I truthfully have not even thought about that game yet. Pine Charter is first. We're trying to go 1-0 every week in advance. That's our whole mantra this year. We got caught doing that last year. We got caught looking ahead, you know, trying to overlook this team for this team. And that caught us, you know. So, you know, we're just trying to do things a little different, man, this year. Take it 1 week at a time. All those games down the road, half the time, I didn't even know we were playing some of them down the road. You know, but we're just trying to take and give the respect to each team, man. You know, and you know, this past week we played a tough crop team, you know, which I called a trap game because we just came from a rivalry game, and now you're playing another semi-rivalry game in a neighborhood against one of my good buddies in Coach Wilder, you know, and one of our former, you know, players that we had as a ninth and an early 10th grader that was over as well. So it was a lot of familiarity in that game, man, that, you know, it made it a little tougher than it probably should have. But those are the games that we need as a program. Those are the games that help you build championship mentalities, man. And that's what I've been telling the kids. That's what helps us advance.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach, I can't thank you enough for joining us. 3-0 off the start. As you said, Pines Charter, first district game this week. We won't go any further than that. And again, thanks so much for taking the time, and congratulations so far.
Man, no problem. Appreciate you, man. And also, man, go Pioneers.
No doubt. Coach, thank you so much. Coach Gerald Cox, the head coach at North Miami, my alma mater. I got to kind of like push that in there. Don't get a chance to, you know, through the years, it hasn't been easy, but certainly off to a really good start. Speaking about off to good starts, how about St. Thomas Aquinas? I mean, you can't say enough about that program, what they do every single year, elevating their not only football, but their students, and started off this year with Mattar Day, one of the best teams in the country year in and year out, took that thing right down to the wire. Came back and beat Boyd Anderson. And then last week went at Christopher Columbus in a game that I've said for years and years should be a yearly, home and home type of deal. I don't make the schedules, but this is a program that kind of understands, you know, what the process is about. Six-time defending state champion, veteran head coach Roger Harriott is kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. I hope you're staying safe out there. I know there's lightning out around the area, so I figured that's why when I called you, that may have been where you were.
Yeah, we were just wrapping up here, so Jay, make sure we're getting the kids home safe. So thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this is this has become a ritual with the start. That Broward County Showcase, you guys taking on the banner teams, and obviously Matter Day is a program that everybody looks at, you know, kind of like yourself as a standard program, and a team certainly that came east. And was easily one of the better games of the weekend. Certainly you know what it takes, especially playing some of the teams that you guys do with Chaminade and Heritage, and certainly MacArthur much improved this year, and then Western and playing Columbus. Talk about the way things are now as opposed to where they were 5 years ago, because now here's a program in yours that everybody expects to be there at the end of the year, six in a row. Certainly it's not done by magic. It's done by a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication. Talk about that.
I mean, for us, it's a blessed expectation to represent. And obviously you already know how we feel with regards to our faith and having an opportunity to glorify God and establish a new culture and continuing the evolution, not only of, football, but more so just what we're doing in life for these kids. So, you know, all of us collectively are doing exceptional things, and it's great to watch all the programs, excel and how the industry has evolved, with regards to the recruiting process and NIL. And I know there's a lot of contention with regards to, the direction that some feel is heading in. But, this is what we have to work with. And there's a tremendous amount of tension, focused on high school football right now. So it's our job to make sure we're doing a good job of, making sure that we're regulating it appropriately for our student athletes and their parents. So, but there's tremendous opportunity, Larry, for us to continue to, evolve and excel and set the right example for, the future, our future leaders for tomorrow. And that's kind of the way we look at this opportunity and the platform. The Broward Showcase is a great kickoff to the season. It's arguably the most prominent high school football, program in the country right now. Mm-hmm. So we've done our BCAA representatives have done a great job of orchestrating and marketing the showcase with ESPN. So we're grateful to have an opportunity to play against some of these prominent programs from out of town. And obviously we came up short. We humbly have high hopes to represent St. Thomas and Broward County, and we're going to continue to do so. So we have a formidable schedule ahead of us. We want to make sure that our players are safe and playing strong, but I think we continue to evolve in Broward County from a coaching standpoint,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. And not only that, your administrative support has always been really, really high. And certainly having somebody like Twan Russell as the athletic director, one of the class acts of any generation, somebody who, has transformed, this program. And this is, I mean, obviously he like yourself, graduate of St. Thomas Aquinas, somebody who carried that flag for years and years. He rolls up his sleeves whenever he can, no matter what sport it is, lacrosse, football, yep. He's always there. He's always supporting. Having somebody yep. like that in your corner is extremely important. And certainly the administrators and the teachers at the school who support. Talk about that, because yeah. We don't ever get into that much.
we definitely have a championship culture that goes way beyond athletics. Twan does a great job from a spiritual standpoint of setting the right example and representing our community in general as a devoted husband and father, and just he's a tremendous role model and leader, and our our principal, Dr. Denise Aloma, you know, obviously a long time, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, an employee has done extraordinary things, started off as a teacher and progressing into leading the school as our principal and, you know, working with, you know, the Archdiocese of Miami to, you know, ensure that we have all the necessary resources to support our, you know, students and really as a service beyond St. Thomas Aquinas. A lot of people don't realize that, but, you know, from our administration and teachers and coaches, even through our parent group, we have a strong culture that is really adamant about, you know, serving and just making the community better in general and ensuring that our student athletes and students in general are setting the right example for one another, yeah. You know, just moving forward. So that's the kind of culture we have. We have a strong faith base that's, you know, very Christ-focused, and it's more so on the service aspect of it and building each other up and ensuring that we're our brothers and sisters' keeper, you know, moving forward. So a lot of these things that we do, yes, they're elements to increase your intellectual capacity and your talent. But for us at St. Thomas, it's really about the spiritual component of increasing our faith and you know, just holding each other accountable and, yeah. And lifting each other up, especially during the hard times. So we're grateful to have a strong championship culture and platform.
No doubt. Before I let you go, what's it like to sit there on a Saturday or a Sunday and watch some of the kids that started their, you know, career with you as, you know, as ninth graders and see them doing what they do it, or even the kids who come back with families and have jobs now after colleges and doing real well, productivity in the community. That's got to be probably the pinnacle for you to see the success that they achieve and use a lot of the values that were instilled to them while they were at St. Thomas.
And that's what it's really about for us. You know, we're fortunate to receive great validation. It's definitely a blessed gratification for us at St. Thomas to watch those that we've had an opportunity to influence, especially when, you know, our objective is to make sure that they're learning and they're growing with the ultimate goal to become champions in their actual life as, you know, community members and husbands and wives and you know, fathers and moms. And, you know, it's great to watch them evolve in that capacity when they graduate out of the classroom and, you know, off of their playing field or whatever their activity is. It could be robotics or band, or it doesn't matter to us. We just really are focused on, you know, giving them the necessary tools and resources to be champions in their life. And when you think of St. Thomas, you know, that's what it's really about. A lot of people look at it from an athletic standpoint, but our championship goes well beyond the athletic arena, right into, you know, our community and you know, setting the right example, but more so from a faith-based standpoint. So we're extremely humbled and grateful to have that blessed opportunity.
No doubt. Friday night, Western, 7:00. St. Thomas will host the Wildcats. Coach, I can't thank you enough for stopping by. Appreciate you as always, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate you having us on, and we're grateful for all that you do for us.
Thank you so much. Roger Harriott, the head coach at St. Thomas Aquinas, six-time defending state champions and certainly on their way to another great season. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and even youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we wrap things up for a Monday evening.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, back to wrap things up with you. And thank you so much for a really good Monday. Joey Knight from the Tampa Bay Times. Matt Mershell joined us from the Orlando Sentinel, talked a little bit of UCF football. Coach Miles Russ, the head coach at Kaiser University. We talked to Gio Milian about University of Miami, the first two games in the books. USF this Saturday. Coach Gerald Cox, the head coach at North Miami Pioneers, off to a 3-0 start. And we ended things off with Roger Harriott, veteran head coach at St. Thomas Aquinas. His Raiders have won the last 6 state football titles. Don't forget, we'll be back with you next Monday. Bears and Vikings coming up right here. Thanks a lot to Trevor Harris for doing what he does every week for us. We will see you next week.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.